My friends, welcome to the last chapel of 2010. You made it, end of the semester, way to go. Hey, I wanna give a special congratulations to you freshmen. You've made it through your first semester of college. Yes, yes, you're there, almost. Your finals have not been yet taken. You have not turned in your last sentence, but it's time. Just about to put a period at that end of that sentence, which is what we're going to be here to do today. I love this time of year. Everyone's so, they're appropriately tired and focused. I always feel like this is the way college should feel all semester long. Everyone's working hard. Their heads are down. They're studying. I love this time of the year. Love it. It's fantastic. Hey, a couple announcements real quick. First of all, there's a Waffle House. Some 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, someplace. Hincam Cottage. We got a Waffle House. People are grilling up. Also, tonight, there is a closing worship service for the 24/7 prayer that's been going on in Wynette's Auditorium in Graves Hall at 10 p.m. to midnight. It's also not too early to start thinking about next semester, and I want to call our attention. As soon as we get back to campus, we're going to have the Veritas Forum, and the theme is going to be true community and true selves. And this is going to be an opportunity. We've got some great scholars coming out to participate in this and to explore what does it mean for us as Christians to think about having true community, and what does it mean to have a true self in Christ. So as soon as we get back, we're going to be hitting that hard as well. And finally, the final announcement is I want to give a special invitation to all of you to Sunday's final gathering of the school year. And we're doing something a little different. It's a lessons and carols service. And we're asking that you dress in some classy attire. It doesn't have to be formal, but we want you to get a little, give the service a little gravity. If you've been waiting to ask that special person out to dinner, this would be a great night to do that. Make it a date night, and then come and worship the Emmanuel, God who is with us, God who is for us. Look good is what I'm saying. Gentlemen, if you don't know how to tie a tie, get on YouTube. Push it in, and there's all these different kind of websites that shows you how to tie a tie. So anyway, we just invite you to a night of worship where we're going to sing some Christmas carols, and we're going to listen to the biblical story of Christmas. So come on out for that final gathering together. We really hope that we can make this a really beautiful event together. This semester, we've been listening to Paul in the book of Philippians write to his friends. I put a challenge out at the beginning of the semester that anyone who would memorize all of Philippians with me would get a steak dinner. And some of you have taken up that challenge. And I've invited five of them to come to chapel today that as we put a period at the end of this semester, we just listen to the Apostle Paul and his letter to the Philippians. And I want to help me welcome out my friends that are going to be helping me recite this. We got John Donkersloot. Yes. Yes. All right. Yes. All right. Sarah Flicker, John Donkersloot, Kevin Kruger, Matt Vermeer, Justin Mikowski. All right, settle down, all right. It's worship. Be serious. Yes. So what we want to do now is we just want to invite you to just take a step back and just listen to the word of the Lord as if it was written from one friend to another, which it is. And hear this from one friend to another, which it is. The word of the God brings us into deeper relationship. And hear the word of the Lord as it comes from Paul to his friends at Philippi. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, along with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God himself can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that all that has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but some out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ not out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that, whether from false motives or true, in all things that Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given to me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. Drink me.
No way. You speak with all boldness.
Speak with all boldness? I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always.
You're good.
Now, as always.
You memorize a different version.
I know. So that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gained. If I am to go on living, it will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. For I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Yet it is more necessary for you that I remain here in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, that by my being among you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come among you or hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, not being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This will be a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but to you that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ Jesus not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle that you saw that I had and now hear that I still have.
If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was born in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, giving him the name that is above all names, so that at the name of Christ every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Therefore, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become children, blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, so that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow servant, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him to you, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me.
Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself.
Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. And yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side for the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have received or learned or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. For moreover, as you know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. I'm not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what can be accredited to your account. I have been paid in full, and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. Hey, as you head into Christmas break, take your finals, greet each other in the spirit of Christ, and may the grace of Christ be with your spirit. Go in peace, my friends. Amen. Way to go. Sorry about that.